Welcome to WISO Weekend, WISO's weekly radio magazine. I'm Jerry Kenny. On today's program, Bill Hardy with AIDS Resource Center Ohio gives us some updated state and local information on the number of HIV cases on this World AIDS Day. We'll find out about the Miracle Clubhouse for people with mental illness who are rebuilding their lives. Juliet Fromholt has that story. And on this Thanksgiving weekend, we'll hear what students from Centerville High School and Jamestown are thankful for. Up first, shoppers were out in full force for Black Friday, traditionally one of the biggest shopping days of the year, and this weekend there are plenty of options when it comes to buying holiday gifts. Retail giants like Walmart and Target specialize in high-volume, low-price goods that will draw shoppers into their stores. But the holiday shopping season is one that many small, locally-owned shops depend on for survival. The National Retail Federation says this holiday season may represent as much as 20 to 40% of annual sales for stores, big and small. But for local businesses, holiday sales can make or break them, according to Dawn Schroeder, executive director of the Waynesville Chamber of Commerce. I spoke to her this week by phone.
Well, it's that time of the year to remind everybody about the importance of shopping local. It's about your local community and your economy, which means it translates into a lot of things, including local jobs, local services, and supporting charities and organizations. So I think it's not just stressed on Small Business Saturday, but every day of the year, I think we should reach out and try to support our local small businesses even more.
And how important is this upcoming season for small businesses? Like, can you quantify what percentage of money that they bring in compared with their annual sales?
Well, it's all tied up with it being, you know, Black Friday weekend, and the sales are always up during that weekend. So to give you a number, I can't give you a number off the top of my head. It is bigger than a normal weekend, but it's a huge percent.
Okay, and so how important is it for these businesses to actually get foot traffic, you know, in through their doors or either on their websites if they have them? Can this make or break small retail shops?
It can. The fourth quarter makes or breaks their year. And as they go into, you know, the first quarter for 2014, they need the sales from 2013 to make them successful in the following year. So this weekend is extremely important for them and the following weekends to come between now and Christmas and the end of the year. So they need your support. As you walk by a small business and you think, oh, I've never been into that business before, I would like to go in someday. Don't make it someday, because someday they may not be here. They need your support every day.
And how is it for businesses in Waynesville right now with the downturn economy? Have you had a lot of businesses that have not made it?
Well, we haven't had any businesses that haven't made it. I think some businesses have been forced into early retirement as they've aged, and they're just because of the state of the economy. You know, I heard a great quote the other day that at one time, people used to say, how's business? And they would say, it's great. Now people say, it's fine. You know, so there's a difference between great and fine. And I think that people are just sustaining and holding on.
Any new trends for small business owners this year?
I think the biggest trend this year is probably social media. You can get a lot said for free out on social media, so a lot of small businesses are using that avenue. A lot of our local social service networks depend on the area businesses, so their efforts are directly or through employers to help, you know, with tax dollars and help spending and help offset costs where they may not have that extra money. So I think, you know, the trend is to support local, spend less, and more awareness that they are here.
Dawn Schroeder, executive director of the Waynesville Chamber of Commerce. With more people strapped for cash these days, another alternative for holiday shopping, pawn shops. WISO's Wayne Baker reports.
It's not your parents' pawn shop anymore, according to Larry Beloff, the president of Max's Jewelers and Loan Company in Springfield. He says with new shows on reality TV, like Pawn Stars and Hardcore Pawn, these shops have taken on new appeal.
Some people still have the attitude of the pawn shop that you see in the movies. The sleazy backstreet dealership and pawning stolen goods. Today, that's not so. We are governed by state law, city law, And now the federal government has put us under their federal banking laws.
Pawn shops are a way for people to use items as collateral to get small loans. It's also a place to buy inexpensive merchandise. The National Pawnbrokers Association says there has been a significant increase in new pawn shops since 2007 when the recession began, and the number of pawn loans have gone up during that time period. Beloff says with the holidays approaching, customers depend on pawn shops for better deals than they can find at other stores.
The same amount of money you'd spend on two items at the mall, you could buy four or five items here and still have some money left over to go have a nice dinner.
Beloff says he's expecting a large crowd on Black Friday, but it won't be quite as big as the end of the holiday season when people are looking to sell unwanted gifts for cash. For WYSO, I'm Wayne Baker reporting.
Today on this World AIDS Day, we speak with Bill Hardy, Executive Director of AIDS Resource Center Ohio, about the latest numbers and trends related to HIV infections, which Hardy says are on the rise.
The numbers, both in Ohio and locally and nationwide, continue to increase a bit. There are about 1.2 million Americans with HIV. In Ohio, that number is about 17,000. And in Ohio, as in the nation, we assume about one in five, that is about 20%, are infected but still have not been diagnosed.
Is this for all demographics, or how do you break this down?
You know, we've made tremendous progress in most demographics. The population that continues to have rapid and continually increasing rates is among gay and bisexual males, especially young gay and bi males. So we've made tremendous progress in injection drug users and heterosexual risk transmission, but the numbers are still driven. About 66% of all new infections continue to be among gay and bisexual males. And again, that's especially young gay bi males and even more young gay bi males of color.
A lot of this is due to what? People living longer? They see it as less of a threat? They hear about medicines that will basically let you live a long, relatively healthy life?
You know, that's exactly right, Jerry, especially among youth, you know, who did not live through the first wave of AIDS 30 years ago now for us. You know, the response of youth is often nobody's dying of AIDS. And if I become infected, I can take a pill. And there's some truth in that. We now treat HIV infection more and more as a chronic, treatable disease. But, you know, it's still a disease that nobody should put themselves at risk for. So our work with youth continues to be strong and intense.
There was some talk about a preventative shot, I think last year or maybe even 2 years ago, that did not seem to pan out. Can you update us on anything like that?
Yeah, you know, we continue to hope for something like that. That certainly is cutting edge. But I think for right now, Jerry, the focus of our attention, and this is really good news, is getting people diagnosed as quickly as we can after infection and getting them into treatment as quickly as we can. And we now know, we couldn't have said this just 10 years ago, but if we get them diagnosed and into care quickly with the treatment we have now, there's a very good chance that HIV-positive Americans will have a near-normal life expectancy. And if we get them into care and if we can get their viral loads suppressed, that is, we get the virus under control, the chance or the likelihood of transmitting the virus is almost zero. It's reduced by up to 96%. The other side of that conversation is that, as I said, 20% of Americans who are infected are not yet diagnosed. Only one in three Americans are receiving the current and best treatments available, and only one in four HIV-positive Americans have achieved viral suppression. So everything we're doing right now in Ohio and across the nation is get people diagnosed, get them into care, retain them into care, and get them on the best medications possible.
You said about 17,000 people living with HIV statewide?
That's correct. 17,000 and another 3,500 to 4,000, we assume, are not yet diagnosed.
Do you have Miami Valley stats?
Yeah. Montgomery County, Jerry, right around 1,200 HIV-positive folks currently. Again, that's a reported figure, and we assume another 20% on top of that. And, you know, those numbers have remained mostly stable. In Ohio, typically, we have about 900 to 1,000 new HIV diagnoses a year. Again, our goal is to get as many people into care and treatment as quickly as we can, and we think that is the best strategy, and it's certainly the best strategy we have available today to create what we're now hoping for to be an AIDS-free generation. And again, 10 years ago, we were not talking about an AIDS-free generation. Now, we're certainly not there yet, but if we can get people diagnosed, get them into care, keep them in care, the outlook is very positive for them and almost completely reduces HIV transmission.
Anything newsworthy on the funding front, funding cuts, increases? What's going on there?
Yeah, funding is always a dance. You know, through the federal woes, we have certainly seen and taken some funding cuts. That's especially true in prevention. You know, the flip side is we hope the Affordable Care Act, and we're optimistic that it and Medicaid expansion here in Ohio will be helpful to us, and it certainly will get people into care, many people into care who are not now receiving that care. And if you're HIV positive, you know, until the Affordable Care Act came into being, you could be excluded from medical coverage, from insurance policies. There were caps on those. So we're very optimistic, and we've been very supportive of Ohio's Medicaid expansion and the Affordable Care Act. We hope moving forward that that will only increase our capacity to reach people and treat people.
Bill, that's all I got for you. Any other additional information?
That's really helpful. If you want to put our website up there, Jerry,
okay.
arcohio.org. If you want a backstory, we now have 14 offices, and I think it's 13 offices in 11 cities around the state. Right now, we're serving about 4,000 HIV-positive individuals.
So where are the other roughly 13,000 in Ohio getting their care?
Yeah, other sources, you know, private sources, many of them are not getting care. Again, the our best estimate is that two-thirds of Americans who are HIV-positive are not consistently getting care. So that's, you know, that's the scary part of this conversation.
Bill Hardy with AIDS Resource Center, Ohio. You can find a list of HIV testing sites on our website at wyso.org. On Saturday, December 7th, Ghost Light Coffee will host an evening of music and performance called Artistic Expressions. It's a benefit for Goodwill Easter Seals Miracle Clubhouse, a member-based community for people with mental illness who are rebuilding their lives. WISO's Juliet Fromholt spoke with Dawn Cooksey from Goodwill Easter Seals about the Miracle Clubhouse and the benefit, where Cooksey will also be performing. They began by discussing what will happen at the event.
The way we're going to do it, I think, is I'm going to play for about like a 30 or so minute set, and then we're going to talk about Miracle Clubhouse and how it helps people with mental illness in the community. And then one of the members of the clubhouse is going to read a poem that he wrote, and then we're going to talk some more about Clubhouse. And then we have another member who wants to sing a song a cappella. At Clubhouse on Mondays, we've been doing Music Monday in the afternoons after the work-ordered day. And so we've been doing like little drumming circles is one of the things we've done, just kind of for fun. And so we want to do that, you know, at the coffee shop because we think that would be really fun. And we're going to try to get audience participation. And we may have a member who plays bass play bass while we're doing that because we tried that out yesterday and it was really neat. So,
for those unfamiliar with Miracle Clubhouse, tell us a little bit about what that is and kind of who you serve and what you're doing there.
We serve people with mental illness in the Miami Valley, mostly in the Dayton, Montgomery County area. Miracle Clubhouse is a place to rebuild your life, to try to get back what the symptoms of mental illness maybe has taken away. And to do that in a community of others who understand, you know, maybe some are a little further in their recovery than you are and can kind of help. And it's based on the recovery model, and it's just very – it's a place to be. It's a place to belong, you know. With the stigma against mental illness, a lot of people, you know, have felt alienated from, you know, from their, even their families sometimes. So this provides a place where you can belong, where people understand you and, you know, and where you can be a part of it and do meaningful work to keep the clubhouse going, because it's the members they keep the clubhouse going. The staff does help.
And this is located currently at St. Elizabeth's campus, right?
Yes. Right now we run a space at St. Elizabeth's campus. But hopefully in September we're going to be moving into our new home, which is on Lincoln Street. And it's going to be located near the new Goodwill Easter Seals Miami Valley building. But it's going to be our own space, and members are really looking forward to that.
For you as both a mental health professional and as a musician, what's it like to be able to sort of, you know, use your musical talents to help serve and share a stage with the people that you're serving in your day job?
It feels great. It's like both my passions just coming together, and I'm just really excited about it, and really, you know, happy to be able to give back in this way.
We talked about, you know, the members contribute to the well-being of the clubhouse, but there are also these great things like drum circles and things like that that pop up. Are those ideas that come from the members themselves, or that you the staff are, you know, helping bring in, or how does that aspect work?
Well, when I first started at Goodwill Easter Seals and I was coming over to the clubhouse to find out about it, I was eating lunch with the members. Somehow it came up that I was a musician, and we started talking about music, you know, just how you talk over a meal. And, you know, people were saying, well, I play bass and I play harmonica, you know, and people started sharing, and other people had sang. And so it just kind of came about in conversation. And then I said, oh, I used to do this drumming thing. Would anybody be interested in that? Other people were like, yeah, I would do that. So we decided to start, you know, doing it on do Music Mondays. So in the afternoon, once we've finished all the work, you know, cleaned up after lunch, everything is done, then we play a little music.
Are you seeing an increased need for places like this that provide mental health support, you know, outside of a traditional hospital or, you know, medical setting?
Well, I've worked in the mental health field for over 12 years, and I'd say that I've always seen a need for something like this. I mean, you know, and I'm just so excited that it actually exists, and I want to, that's why I want to do everything I can to keep it going and to fund it, because, you know, this isn't a service you can bill for, because it's not therapy, it's not treatment, you know, but it is really helping people.
How do individuals become a member of the clubhouse? Do they get referred to you? Do they find you on their own? How does that process work?
Both. Sometimes they're referred to us, you know, sometimes through like a vocational program like BVR, because we do employment services as well. We help people search for jobs. We are just now about to start our transitional employment program, which is where we find jobs in the community. Our members then can do those jobs for 6 months just to kind of as a, try getting back on their feet, you know, in the work world. And then after 6 months, we put a different member in. That way someone else gets an opportunity. But sometimes our referrals come from other mental health providers, you know, the community mental health agencies that are providing treatment services to our members. They'll refer them. Sometimes people find out about us in the community and just show up and say, I heard about Clubhouse, or they hear about it from another member. And
as we're approaching the holidays, you know, that is a time that traditionally you know, people who have mental health issues, you know, can experience, you know, a lot. It can be extra intense. Do you feel like Clubhouse is, you know, an extra support?
Definitely. And one of the things about the Clubhouse model is one of the standards from Clubhouse International says that clubhouses will be open on the holidays. Some members have family, but for those who don't, the clubhouse is there. So
it's really become, it sounds like, in just a short time, in just 2 years, a community unto itself, a close-knit community.
It is. The members sometimes call it family, you know. You know, they'll say, this is my family now, you know. We have a member who lost his mother recently, and, you know, he recently said, this is my family now. So.
Is there anything else that you would want people who are learning about the clubhouse for the first time to know?
It's one of those things you really just have to see to experience. And the other thing is we do welcome people, like, to contact us if you want to, you know, come and have a tour and just, you know, kind of have lunch with our members and see what it's like and get a feel for it. That's really the best way. And so, you know, if you contact us, you can, you know, that's an option. Our members love to show off the clubhouse. And then, of course, sometime in September, hopefully, we will be moving into our new clubhouse, and shortly after that, we will have an open house that will be, you know, open to the public. So,
Dawn Cooksey with Goodwill Easter Seals talking about the Miracle Clubhouse. Cooksey's also a musician. She and some of her clubhouse members will perform a benefit show on Saturday, December 7th at Ghostlight Coffee. This is WISO Weekend on WYSO. I'm Jerry Kenny. Well, it is Thanksgiving weekend in America, and in that spirit, Community Voices producer Renee Wild went to a middle school in Jamestown to find out what students there were thankful for.
Looking for the key to happiness? Buy a hamster. Or maybe two. That's the advice I got from one of the students at Greenview Middle School when I dropped in to find out what kind of things an eighth grader would feel grateful for. The most common answer? Family and friends. The most unusual?
Feet.
What? Explain that one.
Because, like, you wouldn't be able to do anything without feet.
Kind of makes you stop and think, huh? And then there was this strange trifecta.
Donuts. Friends, family, God, Amish.
Wait, was Amish in there? Was it like donuts, God, and the Amish? Is that what you said?
Yeah. I don't know why, but I just like them.
Ultimately, what I found out from my visit was that despite the fact some 30-odd years separates me from these students, we were grateful for a lot of the same things.
Oh, wow, that's mine too. Music.
Any certain type of music?
Any type of music. As long as it's music, I can sing to or dance to. I really enjoy music.
When you wake up too early in the morning and you realize you get to go back to sleep for a few more hours.
Other people laughing, like, makes me happy.
That feeling when you get when you drink pop and the bubbles go up your nose, it always makes me laugh.
When it's freezing cold outside and I can talk my mom into taking me to Starbucks for a coffee.
I love it when my dad takes us to breakfast before school. That's pretty cool.
Do you have a certain place you go?
Well, I usually go to Bob Evans.
The thing that makes me happy the most is dunking. The best sound is hearing the rim rattle and shake after you do it.
This is going to sound a little cheesy, but I kind of like waking up in the mornings and watching the sunrise. It makes me feel happy because I get another day to be alive, to see my family, to hang out with friends, and just enjoy life.
And then there was my favorite.
Snow days.
See, in my house, snow day is the code word for when you unexpectedly have the day off work, with the added bonus of getting the house all to yourself. There's no pressing responsibilities, and you can spend the day any way you want. As an adult, snow days are a rare treat that I am always grateful for. So if you're feeling blue and maybe having a hard time counting your blessings, take some advice from an eighth grader and find happiness in the small things. Or you could just go out and buy a hamster. For WYSO Radio, I'm Renee Wild, wishing you many happy snow days. Special thanks to Cindy Mercer and her 8th grade advanced English class at Greenview Middle School in Jamestown.
Well, I like waking up at 5 a.m., give me a big old buzz bait on, casting out there, catch me a big old fish. Wah-pah! That's what I'm talking about. Get that big old 5-pound largemouth in the morning. That's what I like.
Students at Centerville High School also put pen to paper as they thought about the reasons they had for giving thanks, and then they produced these audio essays. Here are 17-year-old A.J. Brooks, 16-year-old Madison Brown Bowles, and 17-year-old Philip Hickey.
Hello, my name is A.J. Brooks, and I'm a junior in the Communication Arts Broadcast Management Program at Centerville High School. This Thanksgiving, I just want to take time and thank God for giving me another day and the strength to overcome things that I have. I give my grandparents all the credit for putting up with me day in and day out. You see, I'm not a typical Centerville High School student. I was born in Dayton, Ohio, July 21st, 1996. My mom was only 16 when she gave birth to me. My father was the same age. They were just kids having kids. When I was a year and a half, my father got sent away for armed robbery. He was in prison until I was 14 years old. When he was released, he showed up at my football practice. I am thankful for my paternal grandparents. Even though they were separated, they raised me. I live with my grandpa since I was a baby. My grandpa did everything he could to spoil me. He spent a lot of time with me, and that's all a kid ever wanted was time. And that's what my grandpa gave me, time. My favorite memory of my grandpa is us driving around bumping to the sound of Eazy-E. He passed away when I was 12. Unfortunately, my mom couldn't take care of me because, like my dad, she ended up in Marysville and made some bad choices. My grandma took me in and I still live with her. She's not like my grandpa because I don't get to do whatever I want anymore. She makes sure that I'm in the best school district, that I study a lot. She checks on my friends and makes sure that I eat. My grandmother, she keeps up to date with my clothes and shopping. She encouraged me to get a job when I couldn't find one, and I did. She makes sure I understand the values of a dollar because when I get older, she won't necessarily be around. This Thanksgiving, when we say grace, I am so thankful for life, the opportunity that I have, and the positive influences in my life. Even though my grandpa is not here anymore, he will always be in my memories and in my heart. Thank you, grandpa. Thank you, grandma, for taking me in as a son and being able to take care of me. I love you. Happy Thanksgiving.
Hello, my name is Madison Brown Bowles, and I'm in the Communication Arts Broadcast Management Program at Centerville High School. This Thanksgiving, I am thankful for something that many people think is odd. I'm thankful for my struggles, because without them, I wouldn't be the person I am today. When I was 12, my parents divorced, and my world started to fall apart. Many people would say that's too simple, or that shouldn't affect you, but it did. It was ugly, and I started to feel the same way. I felt caught in the middle, confused and angry, and I started to act out. My parents were so caught up in their own drama, they didn't even notice when I started sneaking out to parties and hanging with the tough, rough, older kids. I started experimenting with drugs, so I stopped doing homework and caring about school in general. So I got angrier and spiraled further down. I started lying, stealing, and was smart enough to get away with it most of the time. This went on for years, basically a quarter of my life. I was at a bad place, and I felt very alone. It finally came to head earlier this year when I ran away and ended up in hell. Thankfully, there were people who realized the danger I was in, even though I didn't. It got me out of the situation, and now I'm back home, back in school, getting professional help, and on the road to recovery. It will be a while till the old Madison is whole again, but I have a choice, and I'm the only one empowered to make it. I have to love and like myself and choose my destiny. So this Thanksgiving, I'm thankful for my life and the struggle that has brought me to where I am today. Thank you, everyone, for being there for me. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Love, Madison Brown Bowles.
Hello, my name is Philip, and I'm a junior in the Communication Arts and Broadcast Management program at Centerville High School. And this Thanksgiving, I'm thankful for laughter. I'm thankful for laughing at my dad's horrible Seinfeld impression after being yelled at for breaking a lamp. I'm thankful for laughing at all the bloody violence in Django Unchained, and laughing while I apologize to my mom who mistakenly took me to see it. I'm thankful for driving my sister to school, blasting Kesha songs, and laughing because we only know half the words. I'm thankful I can share laughter with all my friends and family as much as I do. Laughter is important to me because I didn't always have it. I was born with very poor eyesight and a horrible ear infection. My parents thought I was deaf when I was little. In all my baby books, there are pictures of me just staring at the camera straight-faced with captions below it saying, "The most serious baby in the world." And then, I had a couple of surgeries. Thankfully, I was too young to remember. When I was a little older, I imagined that the surgeries was just a doctor picking up a huge vacuum and cleaning out my ears. Either way, my parents told me right after I came out of the operating room, I was smiling like a two-year-old that had just discovered how awesome the sound of jingling keys are. And since then, I've been a weird kid that's always wanted to be on Saturday Night Live and perform stand-up at the elementary school talent show. Jingling keys, by the way, still sound awesome. But I would like to think that laughter isn't just important to me. Laughter is a universal language. People from opposite ends of the earth know how to laugh at a well-timed slapstick or unintentionally slipping on a banana peel you intentionally threw on the ground. Laughter is instinctual. We do it from birth. You know how to laugh before you know how to walk or talk or write radio pieces. So in regards to that, I'm thankful that I was born and that my brain was hardwired to find things funny. I'm thankful that laughter is linked with the activation of the ventromental prefrontal cortex that produces endorphins. And I'm thankful for Wikipedia for making me sound smarter than I actually am. So ultimately, I'm thankful for laughter because it's human. And being human and being alive on this small rock revolving around a big fiery magma ball of incandescent plasma in the middle of space is awesome. Happy Thanksgiving.
That's it for this week's edition of WISO Weekend on 91.3 WYSO. Yellow Springs, Dayton, Springfield, and online at WYSO.org. WYSO is a community service of Antioch College for the Miami Valley and beyond. I'm Jerry Kenny. Thanks for listening, and thanks to all our guests. Coming up next on WYSO, The Book Nook.